Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. I'm going to be sharing with you about healing the sick, or how to experience your own personal miracle. You know, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, this is Miracle May. And I don't know why that just kept coming in my head. But I'm telling you, I have just been consumed with the passion to share with you about how to walk in your own supernatural healing, how to experience the life and the power of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Healing is for you. It is for today. But there's a lot of things we misunderstand about healings. And I'm going to show you the new covenant pattern for experiencing your own personal healing. You don't have to run and chase people down. You don't have to get somebody to bring this to you. I want to tell you something. Christ in you is enough to bring you into physical healing. If you want to hear this series in its entirety, go to www.impactministries.com, and you can get every one of these videos or audios. And I'm telling you, when you're struggling and you need to get healed, you can't mess around. You can't play around. You got to get down to business because your life is on the line. And this incredibly powerful 8-CD series called Qualified for Healing is going to be the most powerful thing you've ever heard about healing. And it's not going to be a bunch of hokey stuff that you've heard 1,000 times before. This is going to be what the Bible says about how to walk in your divine right to be well, to be whole, and to be healed. You know, at the end of the day, everybody that's struggling for a miracle or a healing or needing to experience God, the question that they're really asking in their heart is, am I really qualified for this? Or, you know, we might use a different word than qualified. The word we'll probably use is, am I really worthy of this? Well, you know, the real truth is, if you look at your own personal works, nobody is worthy of any of the promises of God. But thank goodness we are not looking at our own personal works. You know, I want to share just a little bit of my own personal story for you, because this is really, really important. You know, I was born with a congenital kidney disease. And if my parents had had insurance and had the money, I would have probably been one of the first people in America to have a kidney transplant. Because I came into this world passing blood. And so, you know, some of my earliest childhood memories were in the hospital. So, yeah, and when you have something that starts when you're a child, I'm telling you, it's ingrained in your sense of who you are. It gets ingrained in your sense of identity. It becomes your normal, and you start accepting it, you know, as a way of life. So as a child growing up, because of having severe kidney problems, it also contributed to immune dysfunction. So that meant that I caught pretty much everything that came around. It seemed like anything that was going around, I was going to catch it. Then you add to all of that the fact that you know, my brother and I, and we were just wild, crazy little redneck kids who just, you know, we played in the woods, we played hard, we fought hard, and we did all the little things that you do back in the 50s as little kids who grew up the way that we did, which meant we fought, we hit each other in the head, and all this kind of stuff. So growing up, not only did I have serious biological problems, but not only did I have a poor immune system, which meant I caught all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, the problem was, I also had a lot of injuries growing up. You know, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, one of my stepbrothers hit me in the head with a baseball bat, and so you know they have to rush me to the doctor and get my head sewn up, and probably had a mild concussion. And another time, one of my other brothers, we were fighting. And I got hit under here, so you know, I still have a scar all the way under my chin here, had to go get that sewed up. So, you know, it was always something. There was always pain that I was seeming to come into and all these things that were happening. And then all along the way, there was just this constant getting kidney infections. There was this constant, my back hurt constantly, even as a little child. So, you know, by the time I'm in about the third grade, I go on a trip with my uncle and get exposed to something somewhere along the way. I have spinal meningitis. And again, you know, we're incredibly poor, and they really didn't have the money to take me to the doctor. And initially, they just thought I had a cold or thought I had a flu. Actually, my aunt thought I was faking, and my uncle really, really loved me. And my aunt loved me, but she was kind of hard, and so she just thought I was faking for attention. So I started running a fever, started getting sick, and laid in bed there for a few days. And finally, I had this so bad that the blood started coming out the pores of my skin. Well, when that happened, it looked like measles. So they just kind of wrote it off as measles, but I kept getting worse and worse. And so they called a doctor. And back in those days, doctors would, you know, come to your house and make house visits. So an old doctor came out and he saw me, and he thought I had measles, and he just gave me a shot of penicillin or something that it really didn't help me, but it probably slowed down, whatever shot he gave me slowed down the spread of this ravenous disease. And so when they took, by the time they took me home, I was vomiting and these blotch, these dots all over me were getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, they took me to the hospital or to the doctor, and they rushed me to the hospital. And, you know, it was what became one of many, many times that I was hospitalized with a very low probability of coming out alive or coming out normal. Of course, there are people that assume that I didn't come out normal, and maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But that just kind of became my lifestyle. So many things, you know, kept going wrong in my life. So many sicknesses, so many diseases. Every time a new flu would come around every year or two, I would get it, and I'd be deathly, deathly ill. So then as a teenager, doing what other teenagers did, you know, started drinking and, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, for me, because I didn't have good kidney function, when I would drink, I would get deathly, deathly ill. And I would be sick. I'd have a hangover for days. And what I didn't understand then that I understand now is that when your kidneys don't process properly, it overloads your liver, and then that starts contributing to certain liver problems. So, you know, in my teenagers years, again, there were other issues that went on. You know, I was when I was about 14, I was in an automobile accident where I got hit by a car. And had a severe concussion, busted my head open, but I lost the use of my left leg, and so I was partially paralyzed from the waist down, couldn't walk, kind of had to drag this leg behind me, and I was hospitalized. Well, this was during a period of time when I had run away from home, and I was afraid that if I stayed in the hospital that I would ultimately have to go home. So basically, when I got to where I could move this leg, I checked out of the hospital and hitchhiked where I was living. So, you know, all of these things kept happening, and this was once again something happened that greatly, greatly, greatly affected my back and contributed to back pain. And so, even though from childhood I'd had this severe back pain, it kind of came and went. But after this automobile accident, it got worse. You know, by the time I was about 16, I was working as a bullet maker. And if you don't, a bullet maker basically is sort of like a pipe fitter or an iron worker. We built tanks. And I had lied about my age and found a crooked union steward and gave him $300, and he got me in the union, and I got a job, and I worked here locally at Brownsville Nuclear Plant. And it was really, really hard work. And I can remember missing so much work because my back would hurt so bad that honestly, it was just almost could not get out of bed. And then on top of that, there was all the drinking and all those things. You know, then you throw into that a couple more automobile accidents and a few more broken bones. You know, I played a little bit of football. What time I was in school, played football. And I'm going through life and I'm breaking bones and having all these severe accidents, having all these sicknesses, all these diseases. And of course, in my later teenage years, I ended up getting on drugs, using drugs pretty severely. As a matter of fact, first time I ever used hallucinogenic drugs, I was in Brownsville, Texas. I'd gotten in some trouble and had to leave the country for a little while when I was about 17, and because a state senator was going to have me drafted and make sure that I was sent to Vietnam. So I got an assumed identity, left the country, and I went to Matamoros, Mexico, and I'd cross back and forth over the border, and I'd work some in Brownsville. I'd play music and run the bars in Matamoros, and so I'm living this crazy, crazy lifestyle. And one night, driving down the road in Texas, by this time, you know, I was smoking pot and had been using speed, and which is death for your kidneys. And we're riding down the road one night after we'd been out running bars in Mexico, and so about 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know. We're on Corpus Christi Island, driving down the road, and suddenly, man, the lights come on behind us, and we realize that we're getting ready to be pulled over. And the man that was driving the car reached into his pocket and pulled out a handful of pills, and I had no idea what they were. But back in those days in the state of Texas, if you got caught with hallucinogenics, it was pretty much life in prison. And so we divided up all of this LSD and all these other pills that he had, and the three of us just started choking him down. And of course, they pulled us over, and we got away. But this set me on a whole new drug direction for my life. And even though I had a bizarre acid trip, it didn't kill me like I'd been told it was going to. So this introduced me into a whole new level of drug abuse. And everything kept getting worse. So basically, by the time I was 21 years old, my kidneys were just not functioning very well at all. I had I'd fractured my skull a couple of times, I'd broken my nose, I'd had a couple of teeth kicked out, I'd had my head busted open with a baseball bat. I had fractured or broken a couple of ribs. I had cut one of my fingers nearly off. I had broken my wrist. I had had an accident where a grinder cut into my kneecap. I had had a piece of hot steel burn into one eye and almost lose my vision in that eye. I had broken one of the bones in one of my feet. I had fractured one of my ankles, and that's just the things that I can remember. I'd knocked a windshield out of a car with my head in an accident one time, picked glass out of my head for about a year. And in so many of these things, I didn't even go to the doctor because, you know, when you're hiding out and when you don't want to be found, and plus when you don't have money or you're a runaway, you're just surviving any way that you can manage to survive. So by the time I'm 21 years old, I'm waking up every morning, and there's blood on my pillow from my nose bleeding. I've got sores all in my scalp, really all over me from excessive drug use. My life was hell. My life was a physical and emotional hell, and I give my life to Jesus. Well, now the amazing thing, when I gave my life to Jesus, there were a lot of things that happened just instantaneously. And You know, in the series that goes along with this, you'll discover why sometimes people experience healing right when they get saved, and why sometimes people don't experience healings right when they get saved. But I experienced some incredible physical healings when I first got saved. You know, one of the things that was really affecting my life when I first got saved was that I had been having seizures from overdosing on drugs so many times, and they were really, really severe seizures that would happen to me just in public, any place. Just suddenly I would drop down and go into a seizure, and particularly if I was using drugs, it would tend to induce these seizures. And so I was having seizures two or three times a week. Some of them would last 30 minutes to an hour. Some of them would last for several hours. And my life really wasn't fit for much of anything. So I came to Jesus, never had another seizure, had incredible things happening in my life. Get in the ministry. I'm living for God, serving God as much as I know how. And then when I'm 28 years old, one day I get up and have a slight pain in my side. By the time the day is over, I really can't get out of bed. I'm rushed to the hospital, and when they examine me, they do X-rays. Basically, the X-ray technician told a nurse that was in the church that I was pastoring that they'd never seen anybody with kidneys as bad as mine that was still alive. My kidneys were reduced down to about a third of the size of normal. I had cysts. I had renal cysts on both kidneys. I had cysts in my bladder and my ureters. And honestly, they really thought initially that I was just eating up with cancer. And so I moved from one hospital to a larger hospital that's more able to handle this kind of stuff. And I start what becomes a 3.5-year battle for my life. And again, in this series, in these broadcasts, I don't have enough time to go into all the details, but I go into all of these details because it's important when you're trying to walk out of healing, it's important to understand the dynamics. What is happening while I am trying to walk out this healing? Why is it up and down? Why am I having good days and why am I having bad days? Why do I experience what, as far as I know, is a healing, and then maybe a week later or a month later or 3 months later, suddenly I'm back where I was? And I went through all that stuff. Now, see, sadly, what we do when we go through those things, when something starts going wrong, we start assuming that that we've lost our healing, and we just give up, and we revert back right back to where we were. And I tell you, I went through those kinds of things. You know, there was one of the surgeries, and really the first 18 months after I was put in the hospital the first time, I went through about 7 pretty serious surgeries in about the first 18 months, one of the surgeries was a surgery where basically they took out all of my intestines, took out my ureters, did plastic surgery on my ureters, reinserted them, and packed everything back in. You know, that was one of those surgeries where you lay on the operating table for about 8 hours. I mean, it's really serious, and you come out, and it took a month to recover the first time they did that surgery. It was terribly devastating for my body. Well, you know, the second time they did that surgery, I was meditating on the scripture that no weapon formed against me would prosper when I was being put to sleep. And when I came out of that surgery, or when I woke up after coming out of surgery, and this again was an 8-hour surgery, I'll never forget just waking up and having a sense that, you know what, I don't have to lay here. I don't have to stay here. I'll never forget my doctor came in that day and he walked in. He said, "How you doing, Tiger?" And I said, "I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'm going home." He said, "You can't go home." I said, "Yeah, I can go home. Take these tubes out of me." I had several tubes and running into through my lower stomach into my bladder, into my kidneys, and I said, "Take these tubes out of me. I'm going home." He said, "Man, if I take these tubes out, you're not going to make it." And I said, "You know what? I'm going to make it. I want you to take these tubes out of me." And I'll never forget when he started popping these tubes out of me, pus shot in the air a foot high. I mean, I had some type of infection that was starting to work here. And he said, "You know, you're not going to make it." And I'll never forget rolling out of that bed. I'm telling you, I could barely function. I could barely stand up. But the longer I walked and the more I focused my heart on the promise of God, the stronger I got. And by that Saturday, I was playing in a softball game at church. Now, but then it wasn't long until I was right back where I was. 3 months later, I was probably right back where I was. Listen, when you start battling for your life, we get this idea that miracles are always instantaneous, and many of them are, and thank God when you get an instantaneous miracle. But I want to tell you something. Most of the people that I see have to walk it out. They have to persuade their heart of the truth about what they have in Jesus. And that's a concept that is foreign to us because we really don't understand new covenant healing. It's really essential if you're going to walk in divine health and healing, it's really essential that you understand new covenant healing, because if you don't, you'll be looking for one thing when the healing is over here and the healing can come this way, you'll be looking for and expecting it to come another way. But basically, this became a 3.5 year struggle for my life. And I went through getting a severe infection, which at that time there was absolutely no treatment for. Ended up on experimental medication that was damaging my kidneys. It was going to destroy my kidneys, but it was the only thing that could keep the infection in check. So, man, my life was complicated. My life was not looking good. And I began a process of trying to persuade my heart. And, you know, in this series, we talk a lot about persuading your heart, bringing your heart to a place to where it's totally, completely immovable concerning supernatural healing for you. But here's the big struggle. You see, really deep in our heart, almost all of us, when we start going through something like that, we start feeling condemnation. We start looking at our life and our life failures, and we start thinking, man alive, you know, am I worthy to be healed? Is there, you know, why would God heal me? And you know, you start thinking that you've got to solve all the problems in your life, that you've got to work it out. Well, I got news for you. The question is not if you're worthy. The question is Jesus worthy? Because we are in Him. And the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. And that's the key thing. You see, God did not make these promises to us. He made all of His promises to Jesus. When Jesus was raised from the dead, every promise of what we know to be the old covenant, every promise that God had ever made to anybody actually, became yes to Jesus. The question is not, is the promise yes to you? The question is, it yes to Jesus? And when you realize that because you are in Jesus, the promise is yes for you, then you are in a position to begin persuading your heart to overcome all of this pain, to overcome all this sickness, to overcome all these circumstances that are conquering you. And I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you're facing. The promise of God for your healing, the promise of God for your miracle is always yes, and it's always for today. It's not for some time in the future. It's for today. God wants you to experience healing, but He wants you to experience it in your heart today. And until you experience it in your heart, you're not going to experience it in your body. Well, I want to tell you something. And in this series, I tell you everything about how I walk this out and how you can walk it out. And I experienced some instantaneous and miraculous healings, and I experienced several things that I had to walk out. But I can tell you this. I came to the place where I had to answer a question. Am I in Jesus? That's question number one. If I'm in Jesus, are all the promises for me? Yes or no? It's just that simple. If I'm in Jesus, am I delivered from the curse of the law? Yes or no? And then if I'm in Jesus, am I qualified? Well, the Bible says, yes, you're qualified. It says in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, about the 12th or the 14th verse, it says, He has made us meet or qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the kingdom of light. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises that God's ever made to anyone are yes and amen in Him. Galatians 3:13 says, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? Because you are in Him. Listen, I want you to experience your healing. Stick around for this mentoring moment. I'm going to share some practical steps that you can begin taking. Hey, I want to invite you to join me in my meetings all over North America. And if you don't know where they are, of course, you can get them from our website, impactministries.com, or you can get my mobile app. Man, I'll tell you, you can know everything that's going on. You can get our magazine, you can get our broadcast, you can get special offers, you can get our daily inspiration. Everything that we're doing, you can get for free on our mobile app. It's more effective than being on Facebook. It's going to come right to your phone, and everybody in your family can have it. Listen, I want to invite you May 16th through the 18th, that's a Friday through a Sunday, to my Limitless Living Seminar with Bob and Audrey Miser in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. You can get information about that from our website, impactministries.com, or from mynewday.tv or mynewday.org. Listen, I want to have you in my meetings. It's a whole new thing to be in our meetings, and it's a whole different experience to be there live, and I hope you'll be there, and I hope you'll check us out, and I hope you'll download our app and get everything that we've got for you. Qualified for Healing is going to be one of the most powerful investments that you ever made in your life. Listen, God wants you well. God wants you whole. And you're going to learn how to persuade your heart. That's the key to New Covenant believers walking in God's health. Persuading their heart about who they are and what they really have in Jesus. You've got enough faith. You've got everything that you need. You just got to focus your faith on who you are and what you really have in Jesus. The starting place for walking into your healing is whether or not you believe you're qualified and why you believe you're qualified. You know, for me, I'll never forget sitting there in a sick bed, and I'm stinking. I've been on drugs to kill off this infection for years. I'm getting worse. I'm getting weaker. I'm getting sicker. I'm sitting there and reading this scripture where it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises God has ever made to anyone is yes, because they're in Jesus. And I'll never forget looking at that and saying, do I believe that or not? And then I read Galatians 3:13 where it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Do I believe that or not? And then reading in Colossians 1:12 where it says that he has made us meet, or he has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the kingdom of light. And do I believe that or not? And it came down to one thing. Was I going to look at my life, or was I going to look at his life? Yeah, if there's something in your life that you need to repent of, you need to deal with, you need to get out of your conscience. If you got a guilty conscience about something, experience the forgiveness of God and move on beyond that. But at the end of the day, you've still got to decide, what is it that qualifies me for healing? Is it the fact that I've done everything right, or is it the fact that he's done everything right and I am in him? You know, this whole series on healing is going to take you to the place where your faith and your confidence is no longer going to be just in your works. Now, I understand how that your works can condemn you and mess up your heart, and you want to live a godly life, but I'm going to tell you something. If it's our life that we're going to trust in to get us healed, we're not going to get healed. There's got to be some place where the focus of our intention starts being about the fact that we are in him, that he is our source of life, and that because all the promises are yes in him and to him, and through him. All the curses are no in him, through him, and to him. And we are qualified in him and through him and because of him. That's got to become the place. Look up those scriptures, read them, meditate on them. Get ready for the next one in this series.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.